Welcome to Talking Too Loud with Chris Savage, the show that's serving up the loudest takes on building businesses, top-notch products, and unforgettable brands. I'm here with Ty Heath, director of the B2B Institute at LinkedIn. How are you, Ty?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, thanks for being here. So we're going to dig into some B2B marketing trends.
I
know it's going to be fun. But first, I have to ask you, what's got you talking too loud?
Oh my gosh. It's the same thing that I've been talking loud about for a long time.
Yeah.
And it really is, I know it's going to sound nerdy, the opportunity of B2B itself.
Okay. Really?
You
okay.
Know, it's half the global economy.
Yeah.
Let's start there. You have brands like Salesforce and NVIDIA.
Yeah.
That the combined market cap is 3 times the size of these big consumer brands.
Yeah.
And yet, these big brands, so many people, don't know who they are.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
And they couldn't say what those brands actually do.
Yeah.
So I actually think it's a huge area of opportunity for all of us. These things are less tangible, more complex. So it's really an opportunity for marketers to build the future, these big future brands.
Yeah. And why do you think it is that it's just like less tangible, that people don't, like they have trouble like from the outside understanding like workflow software? Is that the problem or like?
That might be a little bit of the challenge there, but I'm like, can we make it fun? Can we bring some swag to it? Yeah. Can we take the complex, make it simple? Can we get creative with it?
Yeah.
That's the opportunity.
Totally.
That's the fun part.
That's how I see it too. It's just like, there are no boring businesses. It's just like boring marketing.
That's what I'm talking about.
And we're all human beings at the end of the day. And like, we want to be entertained and we want to learn and we want to do well at our jobs. And like, I think about that a lot in terms of like, you're underestimating if you can help someone do well at their job, they might get more opportunity. They might get a promotion. Their company might grow. And that's a huge deal.
Yes.
And like really exciting. And yet like so many companies just kind of shoot themselves in the foot by never really even attempting this broader brand-based stuff.
That's right. And I think if we get it right, this next generation of marketers will be like, I want to work in B2B. Yeah. And that's like, that would be super amazing.
Okay. So you've been at the forefront of B2B market research. What's one outdated marketing practice that you wish we could leave behind for good?
So I might need some protection here at Inbound after answering this question, but I think it's the traditional marketing funnel.
Okay.
Yeah, you know the one that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's like this, it's like awareness, consideration, purchase.
Yeah.
The challenge with a traditional marketing funnel is that it's not particularly customer or finance centric.
Yeah.
It leads us as marketers to believe that our advertising is what moves people through the funnel.
Yeah.
But we have a contrarian take on it, based on research.
Yeah.
But that it's that people are either in market or out market for your service.
Yeah.
And if they're out market, they're not thinking about your brand at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we need a different way to imagine what the funnel looks like. We actually have a mental model. We're obsessed with mental models at the B2B Institute.
Okay.
Called a cash flow funnel.
Okay. So explain it.
Yeah. So the cash flow funnel, it takes the traditional funnel.
Yeah.
It turns it on its side. Maybe you can put some graphics there.
Oh, there'll be graphics here.
I'll do my best to describe it. I can assure you
of that. We have a big graphics budget.
Oh, nice. But okay, I'm going to do my best to describe it.
All right,
Wow, this is crazy. Look at that funnel. So it's the funnel, it's the traditional funnel turned on its side, stretched out over time.
Yeah.
And this principle is that 95% of category buyers are out market at any given time.
Okay.
So you have the 5% of customers that represents in market buyers.
Yeah.
That's your current cash flow.
Yeah.
The 95% of out market buyers, your future buyers, are your future cash flow.
Okay.
And the challenge with most B2B marketing today is that most of the budget, the energy, 80% of the budget is going to that 5% in market customers, which is a matter of lead generation.
Yeah.
That 95% future buyer is a matter of memory generation.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's why we talk about the opportunity of brand. We think it's actually one of the single biggest competitive advantage opportunities for B2B marketers to invest in.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. That I think about it in terms of a similar way of like, someone might even, sometimes I think we evaluate the numbers we have like too harshly, where you have somebody sign up, they sign up for the product or they try it or they fill out something as a lead and then they don't purchase. And it's like, is that bad?
Mm.
Because like if they're exploring it early and they end with like an amazing brand impression, that's probably good.
That's right.
And like, there's a lot of word of mouth that happens, right? We know this. Like, you go to your friend, you ask your colleague, like, hey, what's the company I should pay attention to? And it's like, that person had a really positive experience with you, be it at an event, in your product, watching some content, whatever, they're going to be more likely to recommend you.
But
a lot of the measurement of that stuff is really hard. Like, how do you how do you measure the people who are, like, you're creating the relationship in their memory, they're not in market today? Because I think that's where people seem to get hung up. You track things that are easy to measure, and that stuff is, like, very hard for people.
You're so right. What's that Peter Drucker? What gets measured gets managed.
Totally.
And it's harder to measure brand. And that's why one of the things that we do at the B2B Institute is help people take a financial view of how do you measure brand.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about building memory, to many people that seems like a fluffy thing.
Yeah.
But the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, that's
like to
how
say
it works.
The brand that's remembered is the brand that's bought.
Yeah.
And so what we've tried to do is quantify how you might think about measurement of brand.
Yeah.
If you have the two biggest drivers of growth in marketing, one being creative, which is a principle of how memory works, we're in the memory business, and then media, the way you distribute and reach people and grab their attention.
Yeah.
You have those two things, and if you do those two things well, it should result in a fatter marketing pipeline, it should result in more people picking up the phone for your salespeople, and it should result in you being able to hire talent more quickly. So it's bigger conversation that marketers should be having across the C-suite, so you can actually claim more territory and have people understand the value that we're actually driving.
And you're also saying, like, prioritize having great creative.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
And have people who understand what great creative is.
That's right.
Because I think that's where people, there's where there's a lot of, like, I feel like the biggest companies in the world all get this, where you're seeing, like, massive brand spend, you're seeing them, like, sponsoring things, sports marketing, all these different things, which, like, they're triggering the brand to come back. They're like cementing the memory, basically.
Exactly.
And then if you get too small or you've never done it before, you don't have someone who you can trust the creative side, it becomes much more scary to do that. So we rely on things that you have perfect data on, and you're actually limiting the scope of the problems you can work on.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it takes time to build the muscle of doing that. Like, I know Serena Williams is here at Inbound. You can't step onto the tennis court and, like, start playing like Serena. You have to actually go to the gym with it for a while, right?
Yeah. And even then, you're probably
you're not going to play tennis like Serena. Even then, you're
just
not.
Just to be clear.
It's not,
but you can get better.
Yeah, you can aspire. Yeah. You can aspire soon.
Okay. You said that the B2B Institute has a somewhat contrarian take on B2B marketing trends. What's a trend from your recent research that might make traditional marketers uncomfortable?
Right. So you got a little taste of it when I talked about the funnel.
Yeah.
But the idea that I want to bring here is the idea that the way we think about trends and what's important for us to invest in.
Yeah.
So a lot of people ask this question of, like, what's changing? What's changing? What's new? What's fresh?
Yeah.
Instead, I think the question we should be asking is, what's staying the same? Yeah. You knew where I was going.
Well, you're doing a great job describing that.
You know where I was going with this, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We actually have this mental model called the contrarian matrix, this idea that you can be consensus with the crowd, contrarian against the crowd, or you can be wrong or right.
Okay.
So if you imagine that four box, if you're wrong, you're just wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no value there.
Yeah.
If you're consensus and right, everyone's playing there, so the value gets competed away.
Yeah.
So simply put, what you want to do is what no one else is doing and be right about it.
Yeah.
So those are the types of trends we've been investing in for the past 5 years. We have a franchise called B2B Trends for the Contrarian Marketer.
Okay.
And I'll give you our top. We have a report that analyzes our top three, like, these are the trends to invest in for the next decade.
Okay.
One of those trends is called War on Brand, and a lot of it has to do with what I just told you about the value of investing in the long term, investing in memory generation.
Yeah.
So that's the first one. Another one is called Blockbuster Marketing, and that's about investing in repeatable franchises that people can get comfortable with and they expect from you over time and really build on that. And the last one is called Death of Hyper-Targeting.
Oh, wow, okay.
And that's very dramatic.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I like
it's
it.
Like,
I like drama.
It's, like it, yeah, yeah. It's simply saying, you know, reach maximalism. We're reach maximalist. It's like if you layer on so many target facets that you're making a lot of assumptions about your audience and your future buyers,
yeah,
right?
Like, it's not that clear.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Everything's much more. Let me say that one back because I think I get what you're saying. But you're saying it's like the targeting. It's so there's still such a messiness in it. Like you can't really predict your target customer is going to be in a lot of cases. Like, is the person still going to be at the same company? Is their job going to be the same? Are the tools they're using all these things?
You got it.
And so when you get too it's very tempting to get very hyper targeted.
Very
tempting. But you end up. Like, because you think you're going to unlock something.
Yes.
But you end up basically really dramatically limiting who you should be talking to or even which messages work.
You're spot on. Did you read this before?
No.
that's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. That's exactly
It's just stuff
right.
that we believe too, I think. Yeah. And I've seen the mistake happen.
Yes.
Of people coming in and just like being too focused on that exact thing. So.
Yeah, exactly.
With so many changes on the horizon for B2B, what's one unconventional approach you believe more marketers should embrace to stay ahead of the curve?
Yeah. So we started to talk about how do you like start to quantify and measure brand? The other thing that I think we need to like take a bit of a financial point of view on are the types of messages we decide to invest in.
Okay.
So you think of like Warren Buffett is probably like renowned as one of the most famous investors of all time.
Yeah.
He talks about capital allocation and making bets.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you decide to bet on something, you're basically ruling out other things. You're doing that strategically so you can manage your budget. So we think marketers should be thinking the same way about the way we think about messages.
That's cool.
We think that the messages we choose are like capital allocation for marketers. So a lot of brands might have, you know, thousands or hundreds of different ideas or messages in market, which really dilutes your capacity to invest. So I think an idea for people to think about is this idea of what are the things that trigger people to come in market for your service? What are those situations?
Yeah.
And once we understand what those situations are, what are the ones that we're most credible on? What comes up commonly enough to make it a commercially valuable situation to invest in? And where can we actually be competitive? And once we decide what those things are, we place our chips on those, especially when you have limited, I wish we had endless budget. We all do, but we don't.
No,
so we really have to decide where to place our bets. And I think that's one of the messages I would love to get across.
I love that. I think thinking about it as capital allocation and like when you do this, it means you can't do other things. So like, you know, are you taking a diversification approach and you have a lot of different like messages, or are you concentrating the bet, which should probably concentrate the return? And how you even get comfortable concentrating bets is interesting
through that kind of
line of thinking.
Exactly.
I love that. Okay, we're going to go to wild cards.
Oh, boy.
here we go. So what's a movie you could watch again and again?
I think it's that. Oh, my gosh, there's so many. I watch Star Wars. I'm like a science fiction nerd.
Okay. Like, which episode 4?
I probably watched Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi.
Okay. Like, a lot. Okay. I watched that a lot growing up, actually. Yeah.
And do you still watch it? Watch it anytime?
I haven't watched it in a long time, but I could watch it again.
Okay. That's a good one.
Yes.
What's your dream job other than your current one or managing that brand?
Oh, my gosh. My dream job.
Yeah.
I am doing my dream job, though.
That's incredible. That's the dream.
Like, I feel very blessed.
That's amazing.
Because I believe in what we're sharing with people. Again, when I talk, I opened up with the opportunity of B2B. I love the underdog story. I think B2B is the opportunity of it is an underdog story.
Totally. Yeah.
And there's so much to do in helping people translate the message. And I'm also excited about what LinkedIn is doing, of course, connect people with economic opportunity.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Well, look, Ty, thank you so much. Where can people connect with you to learn more?
They can connect with me at b2binstitute.org. That's where all of our research is. You can find that I talked about today. Also, feel free to connect with me on guess what?
LinkedIn.
That's right. That's right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This is awesome.